Recording. Okay. It's so good to see all of you. And we've got a practicum call today. And what I've been doing our last couple of practicums. So a number of you have been kind of like on the side saying, like, can you have so much business wisdom and like that, you know, it comes out in the Q&A calls, but you want a little bit more like structured business pieces, which I'm so happy you've been asking. And for moving forward in Coaching Mastery Circle, when we can actually like add retreats and calls and all of that, like I'll share, you know, how we'll do that moving forward. But what I've been doing the last couple of months is in our practicums, trying to like sneak a little bit of it in. So my plan for today for all of us is I want to spend 15, 20 minutes at the top of the call doing a little exercise that I think will be helpful for each of you, no matter what you're working on, more business oriented. And then we're going to move into our more practicum, which is not as kind of a practicum, but then we're going to move into our more practice skills time. And I have a fun exercise that we'll experiment with. So all that being said, I thought it would be fun and useful and valuable for us today to. I prepared a little exercise that is kind of, I mean, we could spend a full call on it, but we'll spend a short amount of time that can help with a lot of different things. It can help with content creation. If you're thinking about putting together a preview workshop, it can be the basis of an article. It can be the basis of social media. It can be something that gets integrated into your enrollment conversations, you know, into your website, like any of your marketing. It can have lots of different applications. So let's see how it goes. So just kind of, I'm going to ask a series of questions. So the first question is, what's the, and I know this is like one of those questions that are pressure filled sometimes. Don't apply myth of perfection here. Just go with what comes. What is the top one to three results that your ideal client really wants that are like really top of mind for them? What are the top one to three results that they come to you for? Like that's why they would hire you, because they want this result. Don't overthink It's important. We all know this, but I'll just say like it's important in our marketing to for us to be clear on the results that our offerings provide and the results that our ideal clients really want. That's one of the reasons why people invest, right? One of the big ones, because there's a result they want to create or co-create with you. Okay. I'll give you another half minute or so to think on that. Okay. from there, the next thing that I want to invite you to think about, and I've spoken about this a number of times before, we've all discussed it together, is that one of the things that can really attract your ideal client to you is when you debunk a myth. When you debunk a myth. So what that means is this: your client or your prospect is coming to you because they want a result, a particular result. They have already tried to attain that result, most likely, in one way or another. And most likely, the way that they've tried to attain that result hasn't totally worked for them or fully worked for them. And not always, but most likely, the way that they've tried to attain that result is kind of a way that's standardly shared, but that you know isn't quite right, particularly for your ideal client. It could be completely not right, or it could be just that little pieces of it aren't tailored enough. So part of what you want to do is in your marketing is debunk the myth that that standard way is the way for your particular ideal client to attain the result in a way that feels good and right for them. I just said a lot. Are you guys with me so far on this? Does that make sense? Okay, so all that being said, what is the myth that is important for you to debunk for your ideal client? You can almost think of it as a PSA, a public service announcement, right? Like, what is the public service announcement that your ideal client needs to hear? They did not know. They've been operating under false premises. What's the myth that is just so vital? Like, truly, it's a public service announcement for your ideal client to be debunked. Okay, there's more to this process. We're going to get to it in a minute, but we are a small enough group that we can hear briefly just one sentence or less about the result and the myth. So what you've got so far, remember, no myth of perfection here either. Who wants to go first? Suzanne, great.
So, sorry, did you ask what the three result was? I heard and then it went out. Is that what you want to know first or the myth?
Yeah, just both. Like, what's the result and what's the myth that needs to be debunked about
it? Okay, so the result they want, the three results is lose weight, be confident, set boundaries / be unapologetic. And the myth, or which one? But I suppose the biggest one that's a public service announcement, because I work with overgivers, is eating is receiving. So when they can't receive in other ways, that's why they turn to food to overeat, because it's the way that they receive. So when they can start to receive in other ways, things like compliments or like even the littlest thing, that opens them up rather than trying diets and exercise and things that they've done a million times before without any result.
Beautiful. So the myth that is that you're actually debunking is that diets, exercise, regimes, none of that works unless you really look at the source of the eating issues, and that has to do with receiving.
Yeah, because overeating is a two-pronged thing. Problem one is the overeating, and problem two is the excess weight, and people trying to address the excess weight without addressing why they're overeating. It's just kind of like you're always
So really the myth or another way you could say it is like the myth is just addressing the weight,
right? Yeah, that's actually a better way of saying it. Yeah.
Beautiful. Good.
Thank you.
Who's next? In ball. You have to take yourself off mute.
So one of the top three results is to feel good about their choices and to feel like they're being intentional in their lives. The myth is that like work-life balance is like the aspiration and that it's a static end result rather than something dynamic. And, you know, I think of it as more, I don't like the whole that like work and life are considered separately, because to me, life encompasses all of it. So it's around that point.
Yeah, I love that. It's such a different, like thinking about it through such a different paradigm in what you're saying. Nice. Good. Who's next? Kara.
Okay, I feel clear about the results. Still working on the myths, but so the results are to be authentically who they are, and how they show up in the world, to know what they know, to understand like the knowledge that they hold, the wisdom they hold, and to express themselves with more ease. And some of the myths,
I want to pause you there for a second.
Yeah.
Isn't one of the results, I could be wrong about this, but I feel like also isn't one of the results for your ideal client that they want to grow their business?
Yes. Right. Well, to be authentically, to grow their business while being themselves versus like.
Okay. Okay. So, but I think the grow their business part is, it's important to have in there.
Yes. And that's the one I resist, obviously. By omitting it. Is there anything else you wanted to say about the results piece? And so all of these three things to like know what they know, to express themselves with more ease, to be authentic to themselves, are all while growing a business, right? So it's all kind of doing it in a way that brings these results in. So the myth is one that we talked about last time, right? That like you have to be the coach who solves the problems every time. And my way of approaching that is more aligned with what you said last year or last time. It's like, it's your values matter. You just being you matter, like, so that people can decide, do they love you or do they hate you? all those things. So that there's these other factors. Another myth is like, you have to learn all these things from other people and other people's frameworks before you can launch yourself. And my take is like, you actually have to mine your own wisdom from your own journey, more importantly. And then the third one is that the myth is that if you've never had a voice or you've never been that like loud person, that you never will be. Not the aspiration is to be a loud person, but you know, there's this myth that like one day you're going to have a voice. And my take is like, you practice your way into that voice.
I love that. I love all of those. And so this is a great example. Like there's three myths that you've identified. So you could have on your sales page, you could name each of them, but you could also address each of them separately in articles, in social media, or have them in your back pocket in enrollment conversations based on the particular person that you're speaking to.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Great. Who's next? Anne.
I'm feeling really foggy around stuff today.
I was going to ask you, it's sometimes hard to like tell over Zoom, but I was going to ask if you were okay.
Yeah, they're packing 2 pods worth of stuff back in from our driveway to our basement tomorrow. The renovation is supposed to be done, but the contractor only put 1 coat of paint on the walls and the old walls are showing through. So I have been taping off trim and prepping to put a 2nd coat on myself. And like, I just want to be painting my basement right now because I can't put stuff off anymore. And I have my period and I'm tired. And like, you know, I'm just having a hard time keeping myself present, but I want to get what there is to get being here. So I just keep bringing myself back to it, but I'm like way struggling.
Just thank you for naming that. I'm sorry. It's like it's a lot today.
Yeah.
And let's not again apply myth of perfection to this and just trust you'll get what you need.
Yeah. So but I like thinking about the results my clients get. I've been asking some of them about that lately to kind of get clearer. So, and what keeps coming back is that they get unstuck. They come to me to get unstuck, and they get unstuck by getting clear on their vision and their purpose, and getting access to accepting that they don't have to do it the way that everybody else does, that they can find their own way, create their own processes and plans. And they also tend to be people who in their stuckness are hyper-focused on the speed bump right in front of them and who need support in recentering on their bigger vision or their purpose. One of the myths is a lot of them are neurodiverse, or they are forging unconventional paths in some other ways. One of the myths is that there is a right way that they should be able to succeed at, and that somehow there's something wrong with them, that isn't working for them. So that's kind of the same as
So it's almost like they have to change themselves.
Yeah.
In order to, yeah.
Right. Or that they're somehow not, that it's not okay to create their own way. But another myth that's in there is this idea, and I can't quite sort out how to articulate it, that that you can't focus, the myth that you can't focus on your big vision and your big goal at all unless you've solved all the problems that are right in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
And so part of what I'm providing them is an opportunity for a both and.
Yes.
Like, yes, you need to address the obstacles, but in the context of the larger vision, so that instead of looking this big, that they're like this. And
even in your fogginess
too.
So I love that. Those are both so powerful. Even in your fogginess, I think you're getting what you need. I'm just thinking about your ideal clients and how important it is for them to hear that.
Yeah.
You know, and like what a relief that is in a way. Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. And that just pushing, like, because you know, your ideal clients are always a version of ourselves, right? That just pushing harder isn't going to get them to a new place.
Yes. Yeah. So that's a third.
And it's right sort of a flavor of working smarter, not harder. But I want to find other language for it down the road.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll think on that too. But I like the working harder too, because I think people will resonate, like that they'll get that. Yeah. Okay. Awesome. I want to hear from Michelle and Bryn, who wants to go first.
So my ideal clients would come to me for accountability and support in finding a clear path toward their ideal vision of a business, one that is in alignment with their core values and allows them to show up fully and do the work that lights them up. And I think one of the myths that I like to, dispel is that they have to figure it all out before they can receive support. A lot of them try to, I have to train somebody to do X, Y, and Z. And my experience has been that most people, VA services, individuals, freelancers, et cetera, they know all that and we can tap into that. And we just have to sort of get out of our way and share our vision and let someone else support us versus training someone on something. So,
yeah, I love that. That almost, Michelle, just from what I know, I love what you just shared. And also, and I know we already spoke, I think we already spoke about this other one, but it almost feels like the bigger one is, you know, that you can't have your success and your values, something along those lines.
Yeah. Yeah. The other thing I wrote too was like being of service doesn't mean that working with people that aren't in alignment with our values or how we want to be treated. And I actually just wrote something about that real quick this morning, you know, the lack of respect and feeling like we have to do things that just for that dollar. And I have a belief that we let those people go and way more people that are in alignment with how we want to be treated and deserve to be treated show up.
Yeah, I love that. Nice. And Bryn.
Okay. So I have for the top three, what my ideal client wants is to know their strength or that they're strong and empowered, connection to themselves. So like the heart and soul connection, and then that setting boundaries have benefits. One of the myths are boundaries aren't important because being a people pleaser is better for the people we care about. And then mine is boundaries are beautiful. So I know it's simplistic, but
it's perfect, right? Because for your ideal client, like that is the myth that in order to, you know, fill in the blank, survive, have relationships, have what I need, be a good person, right? Whatever you want to insert in that blank, I need to people please and betray my own boundaries.
Betray my own boundaries. Because, yeah, I don't think the people, my ideal clients, understand that boundaries are so significant and the issues that we're working through, that boundaries have anything to do with it. Like, oh, it just kind of happens. It's free willy, nilly willy, whatever, whatever. And then I have this as another myth. They're looking to find the answers on the outside through friends or other sources, but they are all knowing and not deficient in any way.
Yeah. So others know better than we do.
Yeah. We go to them for the answers.
Good. Okay, good. So let's keep on going. And what I love about what's coming through for so many of you is like, this isn't like the only one end all be all. Like this process that we're looking at, you could have 10 different myths, right? It's kind of like a repeatable process. Okay, so the next question, and I'll kind of toss it, we'll think about it for a moment, and you can, you know, beyond that can come back to it, is list out 3, 4, 5 bullets on the pitfalls of the myth that you're debunking. What are the pitfalls of the myth that you're debunking? May not get to all 3 to 5, but see if you can find a couple right now.
I'm not sure I understand what you mean by the pitfalls of the myth.
Yeah. So the thing that they are, you know, up until this moment are believing they need to do, like work harder for your people, for example, what are the pitfalls of that belief? How has that caused them harm or pain? Or held them back from what they've wanted? Give you all another minute on this one. All right. Next question, most of you have already started answering. So if the myth isn't the way for your ideal client, what is the way? What is your replacement for the myth that's actually going to be supportive and help them get the results that they want? Got two more questions. All right, so the next is whatever you just identified, whatever the way is that is right for your ideal client, 3 to 5 bullet points on why. Why is this so much more effective for your ideal client to achieve the result that they want? Why is this so much more helpful? Why is this a much better fit for them this way? All right, and then I'll give you guys another half minute on that one. All right, last question. What is a personal story, a client story, or a story from a friend or someone else that illustrates all that you've just identified? You have to write out the whole story. Just you can write down the name or, you know, a couple words. But what's a story that illustrates all of this? Personal story, client story, friend. Sorry for all the background noise. All right, so I'll share with you all these questions on a worksheet. This is a way to just start to create an outline for if you, you know, an article to write an article. This is, like I said, you know, information for social media posts. This is something that can go onto your website, onto your sales pages. It's, you know, lots of different applications for it and a way just to like easily generate content when you need it. Any questions or anything that you want to say, or how is all of this feeling? What are you seeing?
I just had a really fun and affirming realization about why is this so much more effective is that, and my last thing was like, and it's anti-capitalist, which was kind of like such a like cute little cherry on top, not to, you know, obviously it's like a much bigger thing, but it just kind of like brought it full circle in a way.
I love it. I know that's important for you. And I feel like that's really important for your ideal client too. You know, it's sort of like that extra, like speaks to values in a way. Yeah. Yeah. Michelle, I don't have it in a worksheet, but I was thinking as I was going through all of it, that I'll turn it into a worksheet. Cause then it's like an easy thing to come back to. So I'll get that done. What else? What else are you guys taking from this little exercise? What are you seeing? What questions do you have?
For me, these kind of activities in the past, I've always found really challenging. And I don't know, I think part of it is the way you've framed it, Joanna, but like what my resistance or what usually comes up for me in sales pages or in creating this kind of copy is my fear, like, what if they don't get the result? But in this way, I didn't feel that come up because it was basically, you know, what are they after? Because obviously if you don't address that, whatever you're writing is not going to land. It's just going to move to the next person. And then why the ways they've tried before? Because as you said, it's of usually not their first rodeo when they come to you. And why hasn't that worked? It's not putting it down or knocking it. It's like helping build their self-confidence and their self-belief that there's nothing wrong with them, that these other things haven't worked and here's why. And then offering your point of view or your next steps if it feels right, but then once again, not promising, and then you're going to get all the results and be happy ever after and have some steak knives. Like, because right. Yeah. You know,
so I feel like there's like three really important pieces in what you're sharing, Suzanne. I'm so glad you're bringing it up. Number one, like when it comes, and you know, I've shared this before and you all know that I do this, like when it comes to marketing promises, I am always clear, right? That it's like, this is a process, that it's not overnight, that, you know, and when I'm on a one-on-one sales call with someone, I'll tell them, this is what I think can be achieved in the amount of time. I don't know, right? Like we're, so that's number one. Number two, right. It's this process isn't, it sort of puts guardrails on so that you're not shaming someone or making them feel bad about themselves or making them feel inadequate, like all of the fear marketing out there. It really makes the gap not about them, but about the myth, right? Which is just so much more life-giving and encouraging and all of that. And then the third thing that this does is it really adds value because you're educating through your marketing. You know, you're sharing wisdom that could be of service through your marketing. So like, even if somebody ultimately doesn't end up buying, they have a new way of thinking about things, a possible new perspective. So you're really adding value through the marketing process.
Thank you.
Awesome. Okay. I want to hear, I hope you take the, you know, what you uncovered today and do some fun things with it. I want to hear, let me know. Okay. So let's kind of switch gears and move into some skills practice. So here's what I want to do today. It's a little bit of an experiment, but I think it's going to be fun. Last month in our practicum, I ended up testing for those of you that were here. We had a little test and I tested you on what are the four levels of learning and processing. And as a reminder, the four levels of learning and processing, and these, you want to, in one way or another, activate, ideally you're activating all four throughout a session, but at least activate more than one, right? So the one that all of us kind of know for sure we want to activate is the mental level of learning and processing, right? That creating awareness, cognitive awareness around something. People need mental awareness, cognitive awareness, that level in order to make change, right? Another level that is really important in the transformation process is the heart level of learning and processing, activating the heart, activating the feelings, supporting a client to really connect in with how they feel about something or how they want to feel about something or what their heart feels about something or what emotions they have. When we connect in with our emotions, we're more motivated to create the change. Another level that is often really, really important to activate is the spirit level. It doesn't have to be about spirit itself or God, but what this level is really about is supporting a client to connect in with something that's bigger than they are. When a client connects into the wisdom or the energy or the feeling of something that's bigger than they are, whether it's spirit or God or higher wisdom or inner power or their great grandmother or their grandchildren, you know, or nature or whatever it is, that's a voice that they trust. That is wisdom that they trust. It's wisdom that's bigger than just their ego, and it's inspiring for them. So when you can create an opportunity for a client to tap into wisdom that's bigger than they are, it cultivates trust in where they're going. And then a fourth level that's really valuable to activate is the body level of learning and processing. In a lot of ways, it's similar to the heart level. Like, it can be about emotions and feelings because it's about the body. It's how we feel, you know, like our body feels those things. But like, just the little distinction there is about making a body movement or a body memory or sealing something into the body or understanding through the body. So in any given coaching session, you know, we may hit all four levels, but we also may not. We don't have to. It's not that we have to in any one session. It may be, you know, but we want over the course of time working with a client in one way or another to hit these on any particular issue that we're looking at in ball.
I just have a quick question about BYF.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like that process itself, like, brings in a few of the levels. Is that how you see it?
Totally. I think it brings in all four.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, 100%, which is why it's like such a, it's so good to use, yeah. Right? And it's so effective. But for our purposes today, here's the like fun experiment challenge. We're going to, one of you will come and just share an issue that you've got going on and not using the BYF process. I want us all to think of four, you know, could be less than four, could be a few more than four questions that hit all four levels. So it could be two questions, you hit all four levels, could be, you know, five or six, but that's going to be the challenge. Not that we would ever do it that way in a session, but just for us to really hone in on this and kind of build that muscle a little bit more, have some fun and see how we can be creative and just think about this in different ways. So all that being said, I'm not going to do like a full-on interview like I usually do when we're doing like questioning practice, that kind of thing. Just someone who wants to share an issue that they've got right now that they would like support on. Kara.
Okay. I'm feeling this tension, like even from the last exercise, it's just always there for me around like being the coach and helping people build their business and like being the writer, truth teller that my soul feels like called to be in this life, but is not going to make any money. And like one of the things that I wrote down was like, don't market, just tell the truth. Like that feels like what I believe, but it feels like that doesn't, I'm not 100% sure of it. If that alone can work. And so I feel this kind of stuckness, like I'm not motivated to keep building my coaching business. And I feel like, and I'm not really fully stepping into this kind of truth teller piece or part writer either. I mean, I'm starting to stumble more into it, but it's not totally clicking. So I'm kind of in this limbo.
Yeah. I'll ask a couple of just clarifying questions for us. How are you stuck in your business right now?
Well, I mean, everything's going well. I put together two cohorts, one like a continuing group and a new group. And so I have like awesome people and the classes are going really well. So I'm not stuck on that front, but like my next launch, I've pushed out till September and I'm already feeling like, oh, I have to do that again. And like not wanting to do much in service of getting my next cohort together and just feeling like it was too hard to do that again. So that feels like where I feel stuck.
Mm-hmm. And is that related 100% to what you shared earlier around the just speak your, don't market, just tell the truth. And then it feels like there's this like binary around, I can either be coach or I can be storyteller.
Yeah.
I can't be both. Like, yeah. So I guess talk a little bit more about any of that as well as like where that, you know, not feeling the motivation to put the cohort together is coming from.
Yeah, like I hear you on the binary. I'm aware of it. I haven't been able to resolve it for myself. And I mean, similar to what you raise in conversations around, it's just like, there's so many egos out there. Just like, look at me, let me tell you what I know. And I'm just like, I don't want to play that game. Like, it's so fucking exhausting.
Yes.
I don't want to work. Like, I don't want to, I don't want to perpetuate that, like, image, like, come up with the image and say the right things. And, like, I think maybe it's, yeah, it's kind of, I mean, what's the wisdom that's coming is that, you know, like there's a new, I mean, all of us, I think, in this group are kind of pioneering our own way of doing it. And just because that's the way it is doesn't mean I have to like put that much energy to try to be that. And it's the same thing I help people with. But yeah, there's like, there's ways that I find myself creeping into that, you know? and it can be this sort of sneaky thing.
Yeah. So it sounds like because of the fear of creeping into that, that's some of the, like, I don't want to put the next cohort together. I just want to make sure I'm getting.
Yeah. Right. And I don't want to teach other people to be that.
You know? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, totally. And then what does the storyteller have to do with all of this?
She just wants to be free to, like, she wants to be more of a spiritual teacher. And I like feel a lot of emotion around that, because it's,
yeah. Yeah, I'm trying really hard not to coach you, but I just need to for a second. Like, I just want you to let that land in your system, Kara. Mm-hmm. That you have a deep desire to be a spiritual teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that important?
Well, it feels like, I mean, there's a lot of baggage to spiritual teaching from my history. And yet, like, from the youngest age, it's,
just got chills. Yeah. So just uttering those words to yourself and then uttering those words in this circle that you desire to be a spiritual teacher, just that in and of itself is huge, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Considering the baggage, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, just for our purposes here, I want to just reflect. It's interesting. It's like there's baggage with being coach, business coach. There's baggage with being storyteller / spiritual teacher. And also desire.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I think... anything else that you want to share on this?
Yeah, just this resistance that's coming up around, like, yeah, that spiritual teacher is on that binary from, like, coach that deals with business.
Yeah, I'm so glad I was seeing that too, and I'm glad you're already, like, connecting the dots. It's like you've really created this one or the other. Mm-hmm. And there could be a whole other scenario where they exist together.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, good. So, and Kara, you can put your practitioner hat on now too. With all the information that Kara's given us, I want to invite everybody to, this could be questions, creating awareness, right? That will hit all four levels. They don't need to be in sequence. They should, you know, like it can, you can, because this wasn't an actual session, right? And so much came out. So it can be, you can pick different things that you want to poke at with each of the different levels that you're activating. It doesn't have to be to get to a resolution or a solution or the end of the session, but based on the material that's been given, and you can even, like, if you want to make four columns for yourself, you can put a couple of, you know, practice with two or three mental questions and two or three heart level, and, you know, so on and so forth. Some of the questions or the creating awareness may hit more than one level too. So I'll give us like 5-6 minutes to just play around with that and see what wants to come forward. Just really to bringing that awareness of the four levels in. Does that assignment make sense? Yeah. Okay, good. And again, it can be a question or another, you know, another way of creating awareness, similar to just when Kara and I were talking, how I asked her to take a pause for a moment and let the spiritual teacher land in her body. That wasn't a question so much. I'll give you guys another 2 minutes or so. All right, take one more minute. All right, so I think the best way, this may not be the best way, but I'm thinking the best way for us to learn and share is to go level by level. So let's hear some of your mental or cognitive level questions or ways of creating awareness.
In the chat box or out loud?
No, voice to voice.
So for the mental level, one of them I was going to ask or that came up was like, what gets in the way of wanting to get the next cohort together and how could you simplify that?
Nice. Yeah, like straightforward, but can really create a lot of awareness. What gets in the way? And then the follow-up, I would ask it as two.
Yeah, two. I'd ask that and then based and on then, the response.
Yeah, beautiful question. How can you simplify that? Really nice. Who else? Mental level. Yeah, and you guys, we're small enough. You can just sort of take yourselves off mute and Bryn and then Inbal.
Is there a time in your life when you felt that you were unauthentic in something you shared?
Wait, Bryn, do you have a piece of paper over your speaker? Microphone.
Sorry. No, okay. I was pushing the paper off forward, but further. Okay. I'll do it. Is there a time in your life when you felt that you were unauthentic in something you shared that makes you think you're repeating this in your current marketing? Is that clear?
No, it's long. See if you can shorten it and move it from a yes or no to an open-ended.
When have you felt that you were unauthentic in something that you shared in the past? And are you feeling that you're repeating that now in the present marketing, in your current marketing?
Yeah, I love that. And I almost wonder, I mean, you know, it's always hard to like do questions after the fact, you know, when we're not in the moment, but I almost wonder if those are two questions, right? So when in the past have you, I forget the rest of the beginning there. What would you say again?
Felt unauthentic.
Yeah. When in the past have you felt inauthentic, you know, in your expression or whatever? Yeah.
And this could be like even a story she shared with a girlfriend or a friend or gave a report in school. Like, is there something in the past that's coming up and it's striking its head now? Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Good. Yeah. Great. Who else? Mental level involved.
I'm curious more generally question like, what are the limiting beliefs around marketing? Because what came up for me is, and this could be a projection, but like just when Kara was like, the like, look at me. And like, I'm, so that also reminded me of like a cult leader. So I feel like that piece is coming up. It's like you've separated them, but I wonder if there may be some core that's contributing to both.
Yeah, I love it. So there are kind of like two pieces to what you just did involve some like straight up creating awareness and then a question, both on the cognitive level. Who else? Cognitive level.
Okay.
Oh,
sorry.
Go ahead.
It's sort of a two-parter with a little bit of overlap, cognitive and emotional. Context, I latched on to the piece about, I don't want to market, I just want to tell the truth, right? So what would you have to believe about marketing to have marketing feel aligned as truth-telling?
Nice.
And what's possible for you or your clients if you were to model truth-telling as marketing?
Zingers. Yeah. Yeah. These are all really great. Those are really nice and well done. Kara.
Oh, thank you, Anne. That's great. All of these are great. Yes. I'm in that active question. What would be possible if I were to model that? One thing that came to me and on the mental level was like, to what extent are your clients also spiritual teachers?
Nice.
Who are in this struggle. And as I look around, like the vast majority of them have that quality. So.
Yeah. I love that. This is like related to what we're talking about, but unrelated, but I just feel called to share it because I don't know why. Maybe it will be helpful. You can tell me if this is not helpful at all or if it is. So my disclaimer in what I'm about to say is that, like, for as woo as I seem, I don't know, maybe I don't seem woo, but if you think I seem woo, I am actually a very not woo person when it comes down to, I'm a very spiritual person, but I'm not a woo person. And for years, when I heard people say like, ooh, you know, it's to something I just said or something somebody else just said, like, ooh, I just got chills. I'd like roll my eyes, like whatever with your chills. And over the last 3 or 4 years, as a practitioner, what I've noticed is that whenever a client says something, when they're speaking from the spirit level, I get the chills, the speaking or the heart level, like, you know, in a kind of a combination, like I viscerally feel that. And oftentimes I will just share that I feel that as a validation that they've hit, you know, whatever it is not necessarily, I wouldn't use the words the spirit level or, you know, the heart level, but like as a truth that was just said. So I don't know, I just got the chills when Kara was talking. So I thought I'd just share that with all of you. I don't know if that's useful in any way. Okay. What about the heart level? Heart level questions. Oh, and I wanted to just say one thing that I think will be helpful. Did you all notice just when Kara and I were talking and I asked her to go into her body, obviously that was a body level thing. I followed that up with a cognitive piece. Like I reflected back like, what a big deal it is, right? To just utter that, right? So creating awareness then on the cognitive level for a body thing that came in. All right, heart level, emotion level. What are some things you came up with in this category?
Kind of like simple, but yeah, just like what would freedom feel like?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. And simple is like, often best, you know. So,
and I feel like I wonder, it's like, what's the fear around who like she would become? Like if she were to market? Because I feel, and maybe I'm like too into like your marketing, Joanna, for the conversation tomorrow, but like, what's Kara's like, not that, I don't want to be that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's a great question. I think that's mostly, you know, intellectual level. It doesn't matter, yeah. But, you know, but then there can be a follow-up with like, how would it feel to be not that? Good. Who else? Emotional level.
Can't quite craft the question. It's funny when I do it, it just happens. But when I sit down, anyway, something Kara said was like, I'm struggling with the same thing I help my people with. It was a throwaway line, and I'd explore like, where do you feel that in your body? Or like, I was trying to bring it out of the head and into a feeling. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't sure how to frame that. But that's probably just how I would have asked, like, you know, invite you to feel that in your body, because there's more to that, I think. And I suppose it was creating awareness, maybe, but more cognitive. I was wanting to get into the feeling of that, because, you know, struggling with the same thing I help my clients with, like, if you could feel into that, feeling more like the leader than stuck, because she said something about stuckness as well. Yes. Yeah, I'm not articulating this very well.
No, I think you are. I absolutely. And I said earlier, like, emotion and body, you know, there's crossover. And I think that what you're sharing is more of the body. Like, how does it feel? Because both the emotion and the body use the word feel, you know?
Yes.
So this is like the, how do you feel in your body?
Okay.
And then, you know, just like to riff off of that, maybe the, if you wanted to ask an emotion-centered question, and of course, body leads to emotion and all of that, but, you know, maybe something like, what is the emotion at the core of the struggle or underneath the struggle?
Oh, yes. I like that.
Good. Who else? Heart level, emotional level.
So when you connect with your heart-centered purpose, how does that feel? And when it's fulfilled, what's born from that? They're all two-parters. Everything.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah. I know, for our purposes, that's, yeah, beautiful. So, and that's like what Anne just shared is like a classic taking a vision into the heart space, right? So the client has mentioned didn't call it a vision, right? But we know from our languaging, it's a vision. It's something that they desire, right? So then bringing that into that heart space, creating awareness around, you know, what that would feel like. Who else? Anyone else want to share on the heart level? So I'll just throw one other thing out there. When Kara mentioned the piece about spiritual teacher, I went for body more, but could have also gone more the emotional route, which would have started with there. You have a lot of emotion coming up as you just said that. What is that emotion? What are you feeling right now? Right. And that probably would have led to something like, oh, this feels like a truth. This feels like what my heart really wants. This, right. All right. Spirit level. Connecting with wisdom bigger than our egos.
So if your life is for a purpose, what is lost or what is the missed opportunity if you don't share your story?
Nice. It's a little bit of cognitive, a little bit of spirit. Who else? Even if you're not sure. Bryn.
Go to spiritual leader. And what wisdom do they have for you?
Nice. Yeah. So you could just bring that to a whole archetypal level and connecting in with the inner spiritual leader. Beautiful.
I had a similar question. You know, whether there's a teacher she trusts or connect to the spiritual teacher that she wants to be, or creating a new archetype of spiritual teacher to aspire to.
Beautiful. So there are a couple of pieces in there. They're all really juicy. So one is, you know, who is a spiritual teacher that you trust and admire? And then what would they tell you about all of this, right? And then the second piece I really love, like, what is a new paradigm of spiritual teacher that wants to be created here? And what would they, you know, and then you could follow up with what would they say, or what is their message, or what do they know about all of this? Anyone else on the spirit level? Michelle, you got anything? Haven't heard from you in a few minutes.
Yeah, it was sort of in alignment with what Inbal was saying, but I was wondering if she'd would be willing to have an inner dialogue or a journaling with her wise woman.
Nice. Yeah. And, you know, in terms of like shadow, you could also go in this whole other direction, like dialogue with your evil marketer, right? Let's see what that one has to say. Because there's a, right, like there's such a fear of that one inside. Anything else on the spirit level? All right, body level.
You mentioned feeling stuck. Where do you feel that stuckness that you described in your body? Describe that. And what do you know about that?
Nice.
I had a similar question where it's like, where is the tension in the body? That was the word that I remembered. And then, you know, like anywhere where she feels even like an inch of freedom and to expand into that.
Nice. Yeah. So working with a part of the body and then to kind of create more space for that. Beautiful.
Mine's kind of similar, except it was going towards the negative. It was, is there a part of your body that is asking for your awareness or your attention when you're feeling angst around marketing?
Nice. Yeah. And that is a whole other direction, but it's a really could lead to some fruitful things for sure. Nice.
I had something about, I heard Kara say that you're not really stepping into the truth teller. How would it feel to step into that? Or maybe do some like a journal question, and then whatever she says, like do a process, like stepping into that feeling.
Yes. Beautiful. Yeah. Like have her close her eyes or not, and literally have the client move, like see the space in the room where the storyteller would stand, and then move into that, right? And then how does that feel? Beautiful. Anyone else? Body level.
I'll just say, I appreciate what you said about the chills. I get those too with clients. And it's helpful. It's a helpful framing. I always know that it's like something to pay attention to, but it's a helpful framing to know that that could be like the spirit coming through. That's, and I really, in my own body, and you caught this, but if we had had more time, and you would obviously, or any of you would be paying attention, like I felt that sort of like, it kind of, truth is moving through my body at this moment. And it, yeah, it was like this sort of like bubbles in the water cooler thing that happened. And just to, and that felt surprising. Like what, as I was talking about the spiritual teacher, like that was a surprise. And my body was like, there's here. And just to even stay with that for the whole session probably would have been.
Right, absolutely right. So that's what I was going to say. Like when something like that happens for a client, we want to slow it down. Number one, like we want, and that's body level, like to really support them, to bring body awareness to what's happening, to slow it down for them to be with that. The sensation may change too, right? To note that, but to bring that awareness of all of that. And then again, like I said earlier, at some point in that, you probably want to create some cognitive awareness around what's going on as well. One other toss on the body level could be something like, where inside of your body do you hold this beautiful coming together of the coach and the storyteller, spiritual teacher, right? And then ask some questions from there. All right, we've got just a couple of minutes left. So what are you seeing around all of this? What are you taking with you from this exploration of the four levels?
I kind of I don't dread the practicums, but I'm more nervous about them because I wonder like how kind of like active like I'll need to be. And this is really it just even like making the four columns, I found this really helpful and I found it fun. And I love being in like the small group where it's like I don't need to carry anything. And I really love hearing the framings from other, you know, from other amazing practitioners. So I really love how you broke this down and you're breaking down like, you know, things that like, you know, I think like at our level, we're like not taking for granted, but yeah, like skip over. So it's like a tuning up, but also like a depth of understanding and an integration.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for saying that. I'm glad that I said it was an experiment. I didn't know if it what it would do, but that's exactly what, like, cause I know you all are using these four levels, but the more we can like be a little intentional about it in practicum, then even more masterful you'll be with it, you know, in your sessions without needing to think about it. Good. Yeah. And I like the smaller group. I like the bigger groups, but I also like it when we're smaller and can workshop together. Anyone else? Any last thoughts before we wrap?
I can see my strengths in some areas or my go-tos. Like I find the mental, the cognitive one, the easiest because I tend to be a fixer and I struggle a bit with the feelings because sometimes too, a lot of the people that I work with, and I do too, we would eat to numb or to shove down, or I used to. So like opening that up sometimes can be, you know, you have to be masterful about when in the session you do it and when's the right time and when's not, and then that sort of stuff. So it's kind of like it's a stretch area for me to go, and especially the spirit thing too, because, and I've talked on our last retreat, because I had this very strong Christian upbringing, sometimes if I go over there, then I fear, and maybe I do it or don't, entering an area that could be like, no. So
I think those areas. Yeah. So I'm so glad that first year, like that have that awareness around the mental versus the other, and then bringing that, that breakthrough that came in the retreat back, right? We keep on coming back to breakthroughs. We create the transformation. So you're coming back to it. And what I'd say is if you're up for it for homework, it doesn't have to be after every session, but maybe over the next week or two, after some sessions, take some time and make some notes retroactively about this. Like, where were the places that I could have gone into the emotional level or the body level? What could I have said or asked in those moments?
Perfect.
Thank and you. Just continue to build the muscle that way.
Awesome.
Yeah. And Inval, thanks for clarifying that you don't dread being with us. all right. Well, I am sending you all a ton of love. I am around. If there's anything that you need, let me know. Play with what we did at the first part of the call too. And if questions come up or you're not sure what to do with it or whatever, you know, just let us know and we'll help you. Have a great rest of your day. Bye.
Thank you all. You've given me so much to write about.
Yay.